Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. This is Paul Sollentrop, Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We're going to wrap up fall baseball with two shocker pitchers today. We've got Tommy Barnhouse and Clayton McGinnis here with us. Tommy is a junior from Leavenworth High. Clayton, a senior from Savannah High in Missouri. So we've got two guys who are kind of connected by the Missouri River. Do you ever meet in Atchison for lunch? anything like that between the two hometowns?
We're too far away to hang out, but close enough to play each other before.
Yeah. Did you run across each other in summer ball or things like that?
We played each other in high school two times that I remember. Once at home for us and then once at Leavenworth. So Specifically remember playing against Tommy in high school.
Now, Leavenworth would be a bigger high school than Savannah by a fair amount. Is that right?
Yeah, they were a bigger school, but we normally played them pretty close, gave them a decent game, and it was always fun, good competition.
Yeah, our coach always talked about how good, you know, Savannah High School usually was for being a small Missouri school, and it's always fun going up there and playing someone different once in a while. So,
Clayton, how many times did you play in historic Phil Welch Stadium in St. Joseph, Missouri?
I couldn't give you a number, but I played a ton of games there throughout my high school career. There was, I think we played our district championship game there my freshman year, and then throughout high school I played there several different times.
Now, when I was up there, the light standards were in play and out in the outfield. Has that changed?
Yeah, they actually built a wall, I think, the year before my freshman year of high school, so I never got to experience the lights within the playing field, but I do remember watching games there, and I always thought that was really weird seeing lights inside of the stadium.
Interesting stadium. I think Mickey Mantle played there when he was in the minors. I know the NAIA World Series used to be there, and here's one you may not know. Shane Dennis, Shocker, former Shocker pitcher and current broadcaster, threw a no-hitter for the Liberal Bee Jays in Phil Welch Stadium. So there you go, a little Phil Welch Stadium trivia for you. All right, let's talk about some baseball topics. Let's start with the World Series, and if you're a pitcher, and I guess through the playoffs, you might have been interesting. Baseball is, you know, always changing. We got some openers where teams would throw a reliever for an inning or so, in one case just one batter, and then go to the starters. How much does that kind of stuff get talked about in a college clubhouse, and what were your thoughts on using pitching staffs in kind of these different ways?
Well, I'd say Steele's approach to this whole thing is more traditional. Just have a starter and then have usually three bullpen arms to back up the starter. But this whole opener thing, I don't know if it'll last too long, honestly, because I just think having a starter, having a guy who can go multiple innings and save the bullpen rather than just spending a bullpen arm right away in the first inning is a lot better. But, I mean, that's just my personal opinion. I don't know if there's anything.
I would agree on that. I think that having a bullpen guy come in right off the bat and then him not being available late in the game where he's more experienced and spent most of the season, I think that's probably a better option for him and for the team. But I can see why managers would want to go to him just to get that first out or come in and face a guy that he's had success off of. But I agree with Tommy. I think that it's probably a better option to bring in a starter who has spent a whole season starting and knows what it's like to come in and get that first strike and get the first out in a big situation like a World Series game.
Does it, I know routines are so important to baseball players, but it seems like especially to pitchers, does it mess up the routines? Is that one of the downsides you might think?
Yeah, I would say so. Going from a relief role for the past 2 years and coming into a starting role this fall, I would say that there would be a huge difference just in the amount of time that you take to warm up for a starter as opposed to a reliever. I would think that if it was me, I would probably just continue to do my same routine and do what I would do before a normal game as if I was closing, if I was to pitch in the first inning as a closer. But being a starter, that would change his role coming in right after that as well. So I think that might play a big impact on the way that you look at it.
Well, that's a good segue into another topic. Both of you, two, have done both during your careers here. You've started, you've relieved in the spring. I think people are expecting you to be a big part of the weekend rotation. What's that transition like going from, you know, a guy that flips back and forth or mostly a bullpen guy to a guy that's going to be rolling out there Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays?
Well, you know, being in the bullpen last year and ending off as a starter, I mean, really, I thought it was going to be a big change in mentality, and because I closed beginning of the year last year, and I was just coming into the game, just trying to, you know, be aggressive as possible and just throw it as hard as I can, somewhere in the plate area, and I've kind of learned that being a reliever and being a starter is not all that different, because you kind of have to pitch with the same mentality no matter what to get guys out. It's just more how long you can last and how in shape your body is to be a starter. So I think that's what McGinnis and I have been working on this fall.
Just a lot of legs and your body and that kind of stuff. Yeah.
I think that I agree with Tommy. The mentality is the same. The only thing that I see as different is for, like, both of us, we normally didn't extend innings. Whenever we pitched out of the relief role or the closer role, we would come in, get one innings worth of outs, or maybe get two outs, come in and get us out of a jam in that situation. Just knowing what it takes to go sit down in between an inning and then be prepared to come back out and get three more outs and then sit down and do that for the extent of seven innings, six innings, whatever the task might be that day or however many pitches you are allowed. I think that that's the difference in mentality. But I think that once you're on that mound and on that rubber, you have the same mentality as every other guy. You're trying to get guys out and you want to attack the plate and attack the zone.
Clayton, you had a really good fall, wrapped it up kind of with a real nice outing at Arkansas. Tommy, you took it easy this fall and didn't throw a lot. Let's just talk about some general impressions from the fall. What did you learn about this Shocker team?
We've definitely went from more power-based to speed-based, and I feel like we are overall a lot more athletic and quick. And it's interesting to see how it'll play out in the spring, and I'm excited.
I think that it was a really good fall, just from the standpoint of guys learning and gaining an understanding of what it is that we want to do here as Shockers. I think that the Nebraska and Arkansas games were good additions to the fall, and I think it couldn't have come at a better time with how many young guys that we have, them getting game experience, not just against other players that are with, like, our organization. Them getting to see what it looks like at Nebraska, toeing the rubber, stepping in the box. I think that that adds to the context that they learned playing against us as opposed to playing against other teams. That context will carry over tremendously in their winter preparation and how they work to get ready for the spring. I think that it helps a ton, and I think that they all learned a lot from their experiences in games against other guys.
Yeah, that was a new NCAA allowed schools to do that this year. It looked like a lot of schools around the American Athletic Conference took advantage of that. Wichita State certainly did. Yeah, was there a real excitement, especially among the newcomers, to get in that kind of stage?
Yeah, I think so. I was excited personally. I mean, it's always fun to play other guys. The fall kind of, you can get into a lull. I don't think that we really did, just because we have so many young guys and it was a new experience every weekend for them and even for us older guys. But I think that that definitely brought an excitement and a joy to the team, getting to see what it's like playing other competition. And I mean, just getting that first experience out of the way at Nebraska and that kind of thing helps us look forward to the spring and know that they've had experience, so they're not up there not knowing what's going to happen or know what to expect.
Settles the nerves a little bit for the first game in the spring. So It's a great thing, honestly.
Give us some names that Shocker fans might look out for from the in the spring based on who played well this fall.
Some freshmen. David Van Vuren, I think, did really well.
He's an outfielder, right?
Yes.
Real speed guy from what I've heard.
Oh, yeah. He's fast. Mason Miller had a really good fall. He's a catcher. And, I mean, I've been playing catch with Joe Dittmar, and he's been looking a lot better. He's looking really good. I'm excited to see what he can bring. Anyone you got, Clayton?
Yeah, Clayton, who jumped out at you?
I mean, I really liked the work ethic of guys like Adam Stevenson, Miller Plyman, Cal Carver. Those are some pitchers I worked a lot with. Not necessarily mechanically, but I liked to mix in and play catch with them just to see what it was like coming out of their hand and that kind of thing, and just trying to give them little bits of advice that I would have liked to have known as a freshman. I expect them to eat up some pretty big innings in the spring, just based off of their work ethic and the way that they performed in the fall. All of those guys have very big potential to be really good, and I expect to see good things out of them. From guys at the plate, like Tommy said, David Van Vuren was really good out there in the outfield. He can really swing it at the plate, and he's a big threat on base. I also think Carson Cox can really run, and I think he's hard-nosed at the plate.
Jack Segrist.
Jack Segrist as well. He can swing it, and he can be a good fit for the infield, maybe at second base, or, I mean, if he needs to, he could possibly play the outfield. And then last, probably Ryan Koval. He's really good in the outfield, can swing it at the plate. He had that catch at Arkansas in right field where he ended up getting a concussion, but before that he was making good plays in the outfield, and he was really peppering the gaps at the plate. So all stuff that I like to see. Guys that I didn't really like to face as a pitcher, and I mean, I think that translates into really good players. So
I'm also excited to see Calvin Marley and Aaron Hossie as a kind of a late inning guys and then the bullpen guys, and also to see what Ryan Stumpfick has. I'm excited to see how he does. I think he's up for the rotation.
Yeah, he was a redshirt here last year, mm-hmm. Right? Yep. Yes. Both of you moved into more leadership roles as upperclassmen always do. What advice would junior and senior Clayton and Tommy give to freshman Clayton and Tommy if you were able to go back and do that kind of a thing?
For me, I would say not to make moments bigger than they are, and have an understanding of how to slow things down once you're on the rubber. Because sometimes you get up there and you throw ball one and you throw ball two and you're like, okay, well, I'm in a horrible position. Instead of standing up there, taking a deep breath and going, all right, this guy still has to hit my best pitches. And having an understanding that you can still get guys out at the college level. Yes, they are Division I players, but they're still facing a Division I pitcher in you standing on the mound. So just having that confidence and those mannerisms that even if you're behind in the count, or even if you're dealing and something bad does happen, that you're still in control up there, and to take a breath and do what you've worked on so hard every single day.
Tommy, what's your advice to your younger self?
Just keep pressing through everything. I've learned that actually just staying strong and going through a process is better than just rolling over, and that's what I kind of used to do when I was younger, and I've matured a lot in college, and I would just tell myself when I was a freshman, just keep pushing through. That's all you need to do. Don't quit.
Clayton, you mentioned the taking a breath. The pre-pitch breath is something I hear often from Wichita State pitchers. That's a big Mike Steele saying. Tell us a little bit about being coached by Mike Steele. He's got some interesting drills, some interesting philosophies. What stands out to you?
I probably personally think that the biggest thing that stands out is the way that he like cares for us as people as much as he does as players. He wants us to grow as individuals just as much as he does want us to succeed out on the field. And I think he takes a big pride in that. He understands that like his job is to coach us as players and develop us as players. And I think that it shows in the way that we carry ourselves outside of the stadium as well. So I think that the way that he dives into us as men and as people helps the way that we take on every single day. And we're out there working hard to get better on the field, but we understand that everything that we do is going to show in whatever it is that we're doing in life. So once baseball's over for us, if that's after professional baseball or after our college career or minor leagues, we're still going to be like, we're still men that are working in the, like in life. And we have people around us that we have to continue to get better, and we have to care for other people. And I think that the way that he coaches us in that aspect is really outstanding to me.
I mean, I'm on tangent with McGinnis. He's one of the first coaches I've had to develop us as players and develop us as men. And like he said, like once baseball's done and over with, I mean, we're not gonna have it or with us anymore. And what's gonna define us then? And he wants us to be true good men afterwards. And I find that great about him.
Important thing. Tommy, take us through your freshman year a little bit. Mike Steele would say it was a rough one for you. He wasn't sure if you were going to stick it out here at Wichita State. You did. Tell us about that. What kept you going? What kept you here?
Well, coming in fall, I came in with a knee injury, and I just had the injury blues going on, and I was just second-guessing myself, thinking if I was really ready to even play college baseball. And once I kind of got over that injury and I came back and I started being with the team again and having this camaraderie amongst us, it kind of helped me push through it a lot better. And then once season came and I got some innings under my belt and I got some confidence, and that's when I just started to roll with it. And I've just been like this since.
Clayton, Mike kind of describes your journey as over the last couple years you went from being just kind of satisfied with being okay to really wanting something more out of your baseball career. Give us a description of your journey over that time.
I went through, I mean, I'll just go back to freshman year. I came in, didn't really know what to expect, kind of like Tommy, just like every other freshman, you don't really know what's going to happen, where baseball is going to take you, what it's supposed to look like, and how you're going to handle it. So I got some starting chances my freshman year. And then as a sophomore and junior, I came in as reliever. That was different for me, trying to learn and grow in that aspect. But I think that it helped a ton, just understanding that there are different parts of the game. Like, you have to have the ability to do different things. But in the scheme of things, you're all trying to get outs and help the team towards a greater goal of winning. So I think that my mindset has grown and my understanding of the game has grown, and I've developed just as a player in that aspect of having a more mature outlook on it as a whole.
Mike described a scene after you had pitched well at Arkansas where he was giving you some praise for that outing, and you kind of looked at him and said, that's fine, but I've got my throwing program tomorrow, and that made him really happy. Describe what that means.
So we're big on the process as a staff. We understand that, like, there's your process and what you do every day is going to show when you toe the rubber. So whenever I get out there, if I slacked off throughout the week or throughout the off season or just in my warm-ups in general, it's gonna show. The process is a big thing for us. because every day you warm up, you need to warm up the same way. You need to get your body ready. You need to go through it with intent and with purpose. And if you don't have that intent and that purpose when you're playing catch, when you're throwing in a bullpen, when you're doing anything in life, really, as I said before, your process is going to lack, and then it's going to show whenever you get out on the field. So I think that's a big key for us is if we work hard every single day and treat everything as it's the most important thing that you're doing at that moment, then your process will just continue to grow and get stronger. And I have gained a bigger understanding of that. And that's why whenever I came out of the game, I was like, okay, well, I pitched well, but there's still things that I can do differently. Guys are still getting hits off of me. I gave up the two runs in the first inning. So I still need to get out there and work towards a greater goal of, I mean, everyone wants to throw as a perfect game. That's the ultimate sign that a pitcher's throwing at his best. So if I keep the mindset of, all right, well, tomorrow's another day, I have to get better again tomorrow, you're working towards that ultimate goal. And I think that process is there and it's strong and it's always growing and getting better. So,
Tommy, you've been nodding your head. Is that a big adjustment? You know, in high school, most people in Division I athletics, they were the biggest, the strongest, the fastest, the most serious about a sport. Then that kind of changes when you get to college. Do you really get an appreciation for that every day? You've got to be getting a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, when you get to college baseball, it goes from in high school you'd play a team and you'd see maybe one or two guys that you'd say, all right, they're going to college and they're going to play. But once you're here, I mean, everyone's those guys. But I think what separates the good players from the great players is the resiliency. And that's why I was nodding my head at Clayton's, because of him saying that after Arkansas shows how resilient he is and how he's not going to dwell on that past outing, good or bad, and that he has, you know, work to do tomorrow. I think that's what Steele wants us to be like, is that no matter what happens, we still got to work the next day.
Part of the improvement for both of you has been adding changeups, which always seems to be kind of the mystery pitch, or not a make or break pitch, but a pitch that can really help. It seems to be the hardest one to master. Take us through that a little bit. Why is a changeup so hard to master, and how much has it helped your pitching here at Wichita State?
Honestly, I thought picking up a changeup was pretty easy. Just grip it and throw it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm kind of the same. I think it is a hard pitch to master, but I think it's also a pitch that you don't have to necessarily master. If you have a good changeup that is slower than your fastball, 10 miles an hour, 12 miles an hour, sometimes even 8 miles an hour, depending on movement, you're going to have a good changeup. If you can locate it down in the zone, I think it's going to be a competitive pitch regardless. And if you throw it in the correct situations along with, I mean, that goes for any pitch. But, I mean, working towards gaining a changeup and, like, growing and developing my changeup has just come in throwing it every single day. And I think that comes with anything. If you work on it and you set your mind towards it, and you make it a priority, then you're going to develop and grow in that area. So I think both of our changeups have gotten better and grown, but I think that comes with the maturity and understanding that this is something that we need, and this is a pitch that's going to help us to get people out and even get us out of jams. If we're behind 2-0, it's a good pitch to have in your arsenal. It's not something you always want to go to, but if you can locate it and throw it well down in the zone, then I think that you're going to be successful. And that pitch is a really good pitch to have.
You're done with fall baseball. You'll be back at it in the spring with a full team, but you keep working throughout, as it gets cold. Tell us a little bit about what's the routine to stay sharp, yet keep your legs fresh. How do you get ready for the spring from here on?
Next week we start a thing called the Crucible. That should be pretty fun. But other than that, we just lift, prepare our body, give our arm a little break, start bullpens back up, kind of
mid to late December.
Yeah, mid late December, and come back and get to work, ready for February.
Crucible. That sounds a little scary. You're gonna have to give us a few more details on that.
5:30 a.m. pushing trucks.
Pushing trucks.
Well, that's one of the things.
One of the things. All right. Now we're gonna need more details on that too.
So the Crucible is, it's physically and mentally like challenging. So you're going to get up in the morning. That's going to challenge you to have discipline. Waking up in the morning is never easy. I know most of the guys on the team don't enjoy getting up early. Sleep is a big key. But getting up in the morning forces you to have discipline, get out of bed, get up in the morning, and we meet up and we run, and you do different like exercises that are very exhausting and challenging. And I think that it goes both ways. Like, it's gonna physically challenge you, but it's also gonna mentally challenge you. If you if you're exhausted and there's guys behind you going, "Let's go, you can do this," and cheering you on, that's going to help motivate you, and it's gonna build a sense of deeper team like bonding, which I think we have great chemistry as a team already. But going through something like that, if you experience physical challenges and you have your team behind you, that just makes you closer. And especially going through it together, watching each guy do it and succeed and get through the challenges that we're gonna face with the Crucible, that's just gonna build our chemistry and make us stronger and have a better understanding that we can go through anything and get through anything together whenever the spring comes around.
This is always a very outdoorsy team, a lot of guys that hunt and fish. There are always a lot of pickup trucks out in the parking lot here at X Stadium. Whose truck do you push around?
It's supposed to be my truck, but I don't think it's going to be my truck anymore. I just got some new wheels on it, and it's pretty heavy now.
I'm out.
Yeah. When we pushed trucks 2 years ago, we used Tommy's truck and then Coach Butler's truck, so we might have to see about finding another truck. But I'm sure Coach Butler is always open to letting us push his truck around the parking lot. So we'll see. Steele tries to find two trucks that are pretty similar in size and weight, but the whole thing is just pushing the trucks. So whoever it is fine. We just gotta get it done.
So this is like a competition. You'll have two groups. Each of you push a truck across a finish line.
Yep.
Yeah. Throughout this whole thing, it's just a bunch of competitions.
Right.
Yep. So you split up into two teams or four teams, and you just do the challenges that he has for you, and whether it be box running drills, it's all a competition, and it's all.
It's all based on the final phase of like the Marine Corps training, which is also called the Crucible, and just try to kind of weed out the rest of the men and elevate them. So that's what he's just trying to do to us.
All right, interesting. I'm not going to be up at 5:30 a.m., but if you could post some video of that, I'm sure it would be very, very, very popular. All right, Clayton McGinnis, Tommy Barnhouse from Wichita State Baseball, really appreciate your time, giving us some information on how the fall went, looking ahead to the spring. This has been the Roundhouse Podcast. Thank you for listening.